is resources for tough times. Resources for tough times. All right, beginning to read verses 5 through 8 of James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that this morning your word would take root in our hearts. Lord, feed us. Nurture us. Fill us full of all wisdom, Lord God, that we would walk out this life in a manner that is pleasing to you and that furthers your kingdom as we await your return. Now, Lord, put a watch on my mouth, but I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've all had days when we just feel like, no matter what, I just can't win today. You ever have those days? It's like everything you try to do, everything you put your hand to, everything goes wrong. Well, a guy was driving home from work one evening and heard a radio announcer suggest to his listeners that they surprise their mates when they got home. When you arrive for dinner, he said, instead of growling something like, when will dinner be ready? Why not surprise your wife with a little gift? The man thought that sounded like a good idea, so he stopped along the way for a bouquet of flowers and a box of candy. Instead of driving into the garage, he went up to the front door and rang the bell. His wife opened the door, saw him standing there with a radiant smile, holding out his gifts to her, and declared angrily to him, well, if this just don't beat all. Listen, Buster, the baby has colic. The washing machine is broken again. Junior got into a fight at school today and got expelled. And now, as I might have expected, you make my day perfect by coming home drunk. Man, that's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? You can get tore up for doing the right thing. Assumption is a big problem, isn't it? We too often assume things when we don't know the facts. Well, trouble comes to all of us, but there are resources that are universal to all Christians to help us cope with our difficulties. The emphasis of this passage is not only the need we each have for these attributes, but the availability of them in Christ. So we want to talk about wisdom first. One thing this poor housewife could have used for sure was a little bit of wisdom. We all need wisdom to see our problems in their truest light and see how to make the best use of them. First of all, we need to understand what James means by wisdom. It is obviously more than just intelligence. Wisdom includes a moral and spiritual quality. It is based on a healthy fear of the Lord. I'm learning more and more as I walk through this life and get older, but also older in Christ. I'm learning more and more that the lack of a healthy fear of the Lord causes a lot of problems in our lives. See, a good, healthy fear of the Lord, coupled with a good, healthy love for Him, will cause us to live a more restrained life. When we become so familiar with God that we no longer have a reverential fear for Him, then we have moved into the danger zone. Am I making sense to you? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And that's not the kind of fear, we're not talking about the kind of fear that makes you run from a snake. How many people run from snakes? At least half of us. Yeah. Snakes or anything like that make you run, cause you to be fearful. The reverential fear for the Lord isn't like that at all. The reverential fear for the Lord is understanding He is God and His position, and that He's in control of everything, and we are really pretty menial. And let's face it, also, that He could smoke us in a heartbeat if He decided to. We see examples of it in the Word of God. One thing you don't want to do, talking about that, the examples in the Word of God, God does not like grumbling against Him. The earth opened up and swallowed a whole bunch of people because they were grumbling against Him outside their tents. Remember? He smoked them. And there are other examples in the Word of God. So I think I'm standing on pretty solid ground to say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, it's the ability, this kind of wisdom is the ability to correctly apply the knowledge that we have. The kind of wisdom that we're talking about in James is the ability to correctly apply the knowledge that we have. The Word of God says knowledge puffs up in and of itself. Knowledge puffs up. Tells us that in Proverbs. Okay? So, knowledge is no good without the wisdom that comes from God to correctly apply it. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was remembered a good friend of mine that also ran an auto repair shop. We would talk often, you know, it's a challenge being an employer and finding the right employees for the right job, okay? Well, this friend of mine had hired a guy, he was pretty excited, he was able to get this guy hired that had graduated top of his class from Wyoming Tech. That should be good, right? Wyoming Tech is one of the best known schools for training up mechanics in the country. Well, he was pretty excited. He got the guy in the shop and he started working, and he knew everything in the book, but he had five thumbs on each hand. And he wasn't able to apply what he knew here. He wasn't able to apply it out in the field. And he kept giving him a chance. You know, another week go by, another week go by. Finally, he had to let him go, because he knew all the answers, but he didn't have the wisdom to apply what he knew up here. And he also wasn't able to get it from here to here and do it with his hands. Okay, so I was thinking about that as I was going over this message. And that helps me understand, you know, the whole idea of wisdom and the ability to apply the knowledge that we have. James elaborates on two kinds of wisdom in other passages. One is from God. Wisdom that comes from God is pure. It's pure. It's not puffed up. It's peaceable. Wisdom that comes from God is peaceable. Always striving for peace. Wisdom that comes from God is gentle. Why are we talking about this? Why am I drawing this conclusion of this? Because we have all known people that are wise in their own eyes. And it never produces peace. When you're always with somebody that's convinced they're just always better than you and they always know more than you, it kind of wears on you, don't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And so, it's gentle and easy to control. When it comes from God, it's easy to control. Why is it this way? Because the person that gets wisdom from God and acknowledges it's from God, then takes no glory for themselves. God won't share his glory with anyone. When God uses us to share some wisdom in a situation, we've got to be really careful not to get puffed up when God has used us. For anything. If you lay hands on somebody and they get healed, praise God. If somebody starts looking to you, make sure you reflect that praise to God. It's a dangerous place to be. If God gives you a word of knowledge, and that word of knowledge comes to pass, glory, hallelujah, praise God. That's evidence it came from God. Give God the glory. Don't start thinking you're somebody and you're wise because you have all this wisdom. Because it's God doing it, and we are only vessels. We are headed into the danger zone when we forget that. And that's a big danger zone for people that God uses greatly. I think that's why we see throughout the Bible, and now as well, that only 1 out of 10 people that start out with God end well. It's been that way since Bible time. It was that way 6,000 years ago. And it's still that way today. Only 1 in 10 leaders and also lay people that start out well with God finish well. That should be very sobering for us. And that should help us to, even if God has given us some wisdom, to be humble with it. Not think we're all that. But knowing full well, if God took his hand off us for a moment, we would fall on our faces and fail. Because God, and he alone, is the God of all wisdom. The other kind of wisdom is not from God. It's earthy. It's sensual. And in the end of it all, it's demonic. James is speaking of what we talked about in the former. Secondly, we want to deal with prayer. Within these verses, we see prayer. Well, in a cotton factory, cards on the walls of the workrooms read, "If your threads get tangled, send for the foreman." One day, a new worker got her threads tangled. She tried to untangle them, but only made them worse. Then she sent for the foreman. He came and looked, and then he asked her, "You have been doing this by yourself, haven't you?" "Yes," she said. "Why did you not send for me according to the instructions?" the foreman said. I did my best, she said. No, you did not, said the foreman. Remember that doing your best is sending for me.
Right.
You know, you and I, we try to fix everything ourselves. Wisdom would tell us, go to God right away. But we try to fix everything ourselves because we don't like to ask for help. Isn't that true? I can do this if I work at it. And then what happens is, because we're trying to fix things ourselves, we end up crossing over into manipulation. Manipulation is a form of witchcraft. Yes? How quickly we can go awry. Manipulation is a form of witchcraft. And so, when we start trying to fix it ourselves, and things keep getting more messed up, the threads keep getting more tangled. Because we don't really ultimately know what we're doing until we get wisdom from God for the situation. So, wouldn't it be a novel idea, guys, if instead of saying, well, I've tried everything. I guess all there is left to do is pray. Maybe we should have prayed first. Maybe it'd be a real good idea to take it to God first. This is wisdom. To just take it to God and wait on His marching orders. Then we won't get to the place where we say, well, I've tried everything. I guess all there is left to do is pray. So, this is what James says. To do your best in tough times, you need to call for help. Ask for God's wisdom. Without this attitude, wisdom is impossible. We have got to admit to ourselves we can't do everything. We've got to admit to ourselves God can. Submit, let God. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, powerful three verses. Verse 5 starts off, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's the beginning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If we truly trust God with everything, if we truly do, then that should compel us to go to Him first instead of last. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That doesn't mean a little bit. That doesn't mean sometimes. See, if you trust somebody with all your heart, you're sold out to them. If you trust them with your whole heart. And by the way, it's not very many people I trust that way. You understand what I'm saying? But I trust God. I trust God. But trusting people that way? Hey, listen, people are flawed. Me too. So you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, on your own knowledge, on your own wisdom, right? Goes on to say in verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That says to me, if I'm acknowledging Him in all my ways, then He's at the forefront of my thoughts everywhere I go. Isn't that what that means to you? He's at the forethought all the time. When I'm at work, yes, I have to be thinking about what I'm doing, but the Lord's at my forethought. many times are we, for those of you guys that are working on things, how many times does it get frustrating? Maybe with an automobile, I go to that because mechanic. How many times you got something with an intermittent problem, can't figure out what this intermittent problem is? It's not setting the code. It's, you know, got the scanner on it, watching everything, data for a drive, nothing showing up. But yet, as soon as you let it go back to the person that owns the vehicle, it's surely going to do it. There's no doubt about it. I had one lady one time that I had this problem with. She had it there like a third time. It would not do it when I had it. I said, how about if I go jump in the car and go for a ride with you? Okay. So she takes it where she normally does it, and it didn't do it. She said, well, I know how to fix it. She said, I'll just keep you in the passenger seat. Well, we couldn't do that. But I would pray. Often, after I had tried everything I knew to do, and say, Lord, I'm not getting this, but you know all things. Help me fix this vehicle. Show me what it is. It's that way with our lives. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what happens? He makes your path straight. He makes our path straight. If we'll do these things, we won't be off in the ditch on the right ditch, back up off in the left ditch. Let's face it, when we start operating by our own wisdom, we end up in ditches. Or am I the only guy that happens to? You ever get in ditches? Well, that's why, because we haven't been letting God make our path straight, because we haven't acknowledged Him in all our ways. And that's a temptation. This is a struggle for everybody. I don't care what you do for a living. You could be a pastor, an evangelist, you could be a teacher. Everybody struggles with these things. I think maybe that's why God directed James to deal with this in this letter. Verse 7 goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. If we think we're pretty good, we're probably not. Isn't that true? If we get to where we start thinking, I'm pretty good. Look out, because you're not. God is good, and I'm not. If we could just remember that, quote that to ourselves. God is good, and I'm not. I stand and fall short of the glory of God. I'm pretty sure everybody else does here too. I'm pretty sure. Since the Word says in Romans 3:23 that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the last phrase, after saying, do not be wise in your own eyes, again reminds, fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And a healthy, reverential fear of the Lord will compel us to shun evil. Especially if we are keeping Him at the forefront of our thoughts. Remember, we're supposed to be taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. It's right out of the Word of God. Take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So we all have thoughts that we go, where did that come from? Well, if it didn't come from our sin nature, then we know it came from the enemy. It came from one of those two places. We can't blame the devil for everything because we got sin nature that produces things that it shouldn't produce. Isn't that true? So it's wisdom to not be wise in our own eyes and to fear the Lord and shun evil. In verse 5, James offers four different assurances to encourage us to pray. The first tells us that the basis of prayer is not the character of man, but the character of God. Never forget that. The basis of prayer is never the character of man, but the character of God. Prayer is based on God's disposition to give to his people. What am I talking about? It's God's nature to want to give to his people. But he won't give us things that are going to harm us. I'm pretty thankful for that. He knows the beginning from the end. We sometimes pray for things that we want really bad, and we're all in agreement. God answers prayer. He answers every prayer, right? No is an answer too. Okay? But we can so often get discouraged because we haven't gotten what we want. Well, we need to be encouraged because God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows if something's going to harm us. He's never allowed me to be too wealthy. I don't know what I would do with it if I was, but I must not. We're going to be good with it because he hasn't made it. Not that I pray constantly to be wealthy. That's not just an example. I'm not complaining. We've always had enough. Right? But we pray for things that will harm us. We might be praying for a boat. We might be praying for this or that. Or praying for a motorcycle. Or praying for a different house. Whatever it is. If God hasn't given us that yet, then his answer is no, for at least now. Maybe it's wrong timing. It's wisdom to just let God be God and be content with what we have until something changes. Amen? It's that way for people that are in jobs that are driving them crazy, and they're praying for a different job and putting in applications and nothing's happening, and you're stuck in this job where you can't get along with the boss. Well, you know, we tend to not want to look at scriptures like, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We tend to not want to look at them when we're going through that. Sometimes God's got us in them situations because God's working on us in dealing with that person or that company or those people. Isn't that true? Secondly, James calls attention to the generosity of God. He gives us more than we could imagine or think, as long as it's within his will. Because again, he loves us, and he's not going to give us something that's going to hurt us. James says, thirdly, that God gives without finding fault. Man, I find that interesting. You know, that tells me when I'm praying for something, he literally loves us so much that he'll look at it and see if that thing will hurt us. But his thing is not, he's not reminding us of, well, you know what you did last time, You were an idiot last time. Never going to get that from God. Right? You're just not. You're not going to. Because He is not a fault finder. That doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for sin in our lives, because there are. There's forgiveness in Christ, but the consequences are still there. Fourthly, James calls attention to the fact that it will be given to him. It will be given. Thirdly, we want to look at faith a little bit. Prayer is effective only when it is done in faith. Prayer is only effective if we believe what we're praying for. There's a lot of scripture about that. Okay? We have got to believe what we're praying for. If we don't believe it, God's not pleased. God is pleased when He sees faith. He is displeased when He doesn't. He was displeased because of the lack of faith that His disciples had when He had said, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side." Right? And then they got out in the middle. And they freaked out because this wall came up, and they were immediately convinced that they were going to sink. So they go and they wake up Jesus, who was asleep, by the way, in the hull of the boat, not freaking out over anything, because He knew the beginning from the end. What they forgot to do was hang on the words of Jesus, who said, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side." He did not say, "Let's get in the boat and go out in the middle and sink." We so need to learn how to reflect on what God has spoken and hang on to it, no matter how big the waves of life get. This is wisdom. So prayer is effective only when it's done in faith. We are to pray believing God will answer the request. You know, I was thinking about this week a lot, and about the whole idea of prayer. And I'm just going to be vulnerable. I'm just going to be honest with you. There have been times in over the years as I've been growing in Christ that I prayed for something, and I believed God could do it. Yeah. I always believed God could do it. But in looking back, there are a lot of times I believed He could do it, but I wasn't sure He would do it. Yeah. See, there's a difference. Could and would are two different things. James says to pray without doubting. He encourages us to pray without flipping back and forth from trust to distrust. From pleading with boldness on the one hand, but thinking all the while it's useless exercise. Maybe this sounds funny to some of you, but this is what it is for most of us. And we've got to learn to be steadfast in our faith. The wavering petitioner dishonors God by doubting His word and treating God as unworthy of confidence. Jesus encourages us to pray for wisdom and to have the faith that expects that wisdom from God. Pray for wisdom. Pray for creativity, guys. Last week, when I opened this series, into James. I talked about that a little bit last week. And wisdom and faith keeps us moving forward even in the midst of trials. Well, next week we're going to revisit trials again because the next verses deal with that again a little bit. I think James was trying to prepare us guys through this letter for the trials in life. Listen, we live in a pretty tough world. And we're in a pretty tough stretch right now in this world. I can't believe how much, I mean, I was in high school in the early 70s, and I can't believe how much this world has changed. How much even, let's narrow it down, this area has changed in the last 50 years. It blows my mind. And most of it is not changed for the good. I'll take good change. I'll take all that we get. We need a revival so bad in this area. Across the nation, of course. But let's narrow it down. We need a revival that causes people to look to God again as their source instead of the government. The government was never supposed to be our source. God is. And it's gotten all upside down and messed up. Talking about knowledge and wisdom. I read something the other day about how many points we have lost in this nation, our children, and in different subjects. It's alarming. A high school student, their math skills have dropped 7 points, according to this thing I read, research that was done. 7 points in the last 10 years. Yeah, reading. Did you know that only 1 in 3 students that graduate high school in this country right now can read? That's what it said. 1 out of 3 can actually read. It alarmed me, I don't know about you. My point is this. As our nation as a whole has turned further and further from God, then along with that comes a dumbing down of the people. Am I telling the truth? I've got a lot of teachers in this church. Help me, teachers. Am I telling the truth? So it's time to get back to God. It's time to look to Him as our source for everything, as our source for wisdom. The wisdom of man's not working out very well. Following after man's wisdom, it's not working out very well. And old James, he's dealing with this here. So we're in for a ride as we go through the rest of James, however long it takes. I'm going to take as long as it takes. So I don't want to miss anything. I want everything from God as we go through this letter of James. I want as much as we can get from it. How about you? Yes. All right, well, that's our message for today. Let's stand together, if you will. Is there anyone here today that would say, you're talking to me today, and I realize I need Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior? If that's you, I would just encourage you to step out, walk down here. Not going to do anything weird. I'm just going to pray with you and agree that today Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. Today your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today you pass from darkness to light. Is there anyone this morning before I close this service? Anyone today? All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the truths that are in the word that nurture us and build us up and strengthen us, Lord God. We pray that we have been built up and strengthened, that we have been challenged as well today, and that we are leaving here today different than we came in these doors. Lord, help us to chew on this word throughout the week and bring us back safely next weekend, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.